a beat, it's time to eat.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Charred, a New Haven Pizza Show panel. Yes, we have the Charred podcast that Frank Zapsky and myself do. Frank, come on up here. Frank Zapsky, owner of the New Haven Pizza School. A lot of you in the room already know Frank. And thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And subscribe and follow if you don't already. Charred New Haven. And thank you for being here at the Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest presented by Brown Roofing here at Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater here in Bridgeport. We're eating pizza. We're having some brews upstairs. And we're learning about New Haven pizza here at the pizza panels. So we got a lot of exciting panels coming up today. And I'll let Frank introduce the first one we have for you.
Yeah, so again, as far as what Kevin said, thanks everyone for being here. Appreciate it. If you are not subscribed or follow us, please do Charred New Haven. It's our podcast and pizza show. So we have three panels this year. One is going to be Icons in the Making, which these gentlemen here are going to talk about how they got to where they are. And two is going to be My Pizza Demo, which is how to make New Haven-style pizza right after this. And then we have at 3:30, Icons of New Haven Pizza. So representatives from Sally's, Pepe's, Big Green Truck, Ernie's, so on and so forth. But I want to quickly introduce the gentleman that we have here. This is John Frisco from Frisco's in New Haven on Forbes Ave. Over here we have, I call him Attila the Hun. So he owns, it's a cast iron,
Chef
in New Haven. Yep. And then he also just opened in Seymour, Cast Iron Pizza and Bar. Help me.
Bar.
He's really quiet right now. I think he's a little bit stressed, but he'll lighten up a little bit. Joe from Tipsy Tomato. Right there, that gentleman right there. Joe, raise your hand. Joe has, I think, one of the best pizzas in Connecticut. It's a stuffed shrimp pie. It's absolutely my favorite. If you never had it, check it out. He's on Derby, Route 34, right behind McDonald's. John used to have, he's in the old Harley-Davidson place in New Haven, if you guys don't know where that is. Attilio, he's downtown New Haven, I think, right by the courthouse, and then in Seymour, the old Claridice Village. Heath Andranovich from Carmine's in Durham. Cows, Carmine's, and ice cream. That's all we have in Durham. And then over here, we have Arsenio Bernardo from New Haven Pizza Place. These two guys on the end are true blue Westies from West Haven. Joe, where are you from? East Haven?
Yep. Bridgeport.
Bridgeport?
East Haven.
East Haven. So the goal of this panel is to have these guys tell you a little bit about their background, how they got to where they are. And again, the premise of this is Icons in the Making. These guys are all great individually. They just simply don't have the time that a lot of the older places do. So we have one of those already, and we wanted to have these guys talk about how they got here and where they're going to go. So without further ado, where do you want to start? Arsenio. So Arsenio, New Haven Pizza Place. Again, just tell the people a little bit about your background, like we did on the podcast. Your family came from blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So my family came from blah, 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 blah. Right? Small country out in Europe. Yeah. No, realistically, they came out. Both of my parents were from Italy. And when my father was in Italy, he was a baker with his father and his grandfather. So it was like generations of bakers in Italy. When he came to the States in the 50s, he immediately found a job in the Italian communities as a baker, and he went to continue making breads and stuff like that. And then after doing that for quite a few years, he opened up his own bakery on Chapel and Norton Street in New Haven, right around 74. And so during the day, he would make breads and spinach bread, stuffed breads, chigala bread, hard rolls. And in the afternoon, there was really nothing to do. So he says, you know, I'm gonna take on the pizza business. So he started to make pizza like he would make it at home. And it was taking off really, really well. So he stayed open later. And then from there, pizza business quickly grew into something that was past the bakery business. So they still did the bakery in the morning and the pizzas at night. So for many years, as I'm growing up, my earliest memories of going into the bakery and early in the morning and smelling the freshly baked bread, and in the afternoon having some delicious pizza. As this is, you just grow up in it. You're not even thinking of it. But when you're away from it for a while, then those memories come back really strong. So, wow, there was some good times, some good food. So we did that for a while. I was working with him as a small child, started making pizzas at a very young age. Maybe I was really starting to get my hands in the dough, probably around 11 years old. And then with the tutelage of my father and the mentoring, how to roll dough and what the dough should look like and how it should feel, and then stretching the dough. And when I was able to reach the bench, that's when I started really getting into making pizzas. You know, my first pizzas were terrible. Thick crust, uneven, too much sauce, too much that. So, my father would keep, slapping in the back of the head. Ah, too much, too much, too little, too less. But we eventually got it down right. So from 74 all the way till in the late 80s, he was making pizzas, a couple different locations. And I was working him somewhere in between there. I left the business. I stepped out for a little while, but always had my finger in it some way, one way or the other. In 2000, I opened up another restaurant with a group of guys, and that didn't work out too well when you're having partners. We had two different philosophies, two different ideas of business, so I decided to withdraw from that. And when the opportunity came for me to open up the place in Milford, was in Woodmont Plaza, New Haven Pizza Place, which we have now, I jumped all over that. So I left my longtime job and continued my passion with what I love to do. And I can't express that enough. I haven't worked a day since I left my full-time job. And I really, really enjoy making pizza. It's an art form, and it's just really, really pleasing. Especially when customers come in, the biggest joy I get when they try my pizza, they try my food, and they really enjoy it. And it's so satisfying. I just want to make it better for the next one. And continue with a bunch of customer ideas, and I talk to my friends, and they'll tell me what they're doing. I'm not going to compete with that seafood pizza there. The stuffed shrimp pizza. That was I hear a lot of good things. I'm not going to go there. But so my brother has gave me the opportunity to open up the place in Milford, and he opened it up. He started up going, and he has a pizza truck business, which he's out there now with his trucks. And that was growing really, really quick. So he needed to step away. So I need 100% focus on the trucks, and we'll just divide it up. You take the brick and mortar, and I'll take the truck. So that's where we're at now. Since then, I continue with the basic: use good ingredients, use the top quality ingredients, and you're gonna come out with an excellent product. Don't deviate from any of the rules and of pizza making. Stick with it. And it's been very successful. So I'm very pleased to say that our pizzas are top quality, excellent, excellent tasting. If you haven't tried it, I suggest you come down and try it out. Also visit our bar, which you just recently added on. It's a beautiful environment. We spent a lot of money on aesthetics, making it look really, really comfortable and pleasing. And I'm sure you have a good time.
Arsenio, thank you very much. Thank you. You have to tell one story quickly.
Yeah.
We did, Kevin and I did a episode with Arsenio. Tell him about the Fachim HR. And for you guys that don't know, it's not a good word, but it's funny as hell.
No, so the Fachim HR is, traditional New Haven pizzas are known for, having some char. And that's just a trademark of the pizza, wood fired ovens or coal fired ovens, however you have it. But the char is a standard mark of the pizza. But sometimes, the char will get a little too much. It'll be a little, we call it, facchimi char. That's not going out. That's not going in a box. That's not going out on the table. That we gotta scrap it, right? So we got the char and we got the facchimi char. Facchimi char stay home, and the other ones go out to the customers.
So the char, obviously, I assume you guys mostly know this, but it's kind of the black stuff around the edge of the pizza. And the Fachim HR is when it's all black.
Yeah. You don't want that.
So anyways, thank you, Arsenio, for that quick story. Next is going to be Heath from Carmine's in Durham, Connecticut. You're up, kid.
Hello, everybody. So how did I get started with making pizza? Grew up in West Haven, eating delicious pizza, New Haven pizza, my whole life. Fantastic. My uncle owns Mike's Pizza in West Haven. So I started off there as a busboy. I was young. They gave me a chance to make some pizzas at the end of the night. Fool around with the dough, like Arsenio was saying. Start to get, you know, the feel for it. Never got to make pizzas there, but I worked there long enough to make pizzas. After that, you know, later on in life, I cooked at a couple other restaurants and did a few other things. I was a sous chef at one place and cooked at a pasta chef at another place. And everything was good. We moved to Durham, Connecticut. We left West Haven, moved to Durham. Wanted to open up a business out there. Tried one business, worked out all right. Next to that business was a restaurant that went up for sale. And I was thinking about it. So I called my uncle up at Mike's and my cousin. I said, guys, there's a place opening up for sale up here. I'm thinking of going into the pizza business. So they thought I was completely crazy. They were like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? So I did that. I ended up going into this place and called my family up to get some advice, maybe some recipes, stuff like that. They came up to Durham, showed me a few things. And 22 years later, I'm still there. It's great. Changed a few recipes that they had showed me after a while. It changed a few things, made it myself, and just continued to do what I love and love it. And now I think about it, I can't believe that it's 22 years that has gone by, you know? So I think our pizzas are great. My whole family works there. My kids grew up there making sauce, stirring the sauce, cooking the pizzas. They still work there. My nephews all work there, and all the kids in Durham have, you know, worked there. We just love pizza. I think it's the only reason why I could say that. I think back and I'm like, it's 22 years. It doesn't even feel like 5 years because it's such a good business. It's something about being in the kitchen and cooking constantly. And like Arsenio was saying, when people come in and they tell you that the pizza is unbelievable, or they'll do a nice little write up on you, or they'll give you a review and they'll tell you the pizzas were great, or they'll call the restaurant and they just want to say, you know, the spaghetti or the pasta or the pizza was so fantastic. The meatballs are so great. Something about that makes you love it, makes you want to keep doing it, you know, and stay involved. And so, you know, you just got to love it. If you're thinking about getting into the business and you don't like it or you're not loving it, you better not get into it because it's a lot of work. It's constant. We're constantly doing it. It's 7 days a week for us, whether we're at the restaurant or not. That's really what it's all about. You have to love it. So, you know, 20 years ago, I was making frozen pizzas, for the family. We would go on vacation and bring frozen pizzas to the beach, cook them in the house that we rented or whatever. So that was 20 years ago. So 7 years ago, I sort of pivoted a little bit towards frozen pizzas in the restaurant. I was selling them in the restaurant. And somebody came in and liked the idea, yada, yada, yada. They were seeing if we could help me out with the frozen pizzas. So I had a couple favors, a couple people called me up. Next thing you know, a couple of big stores called me and they wanted the pizzas. So we shifted frozen pizza and started doing that 7 years ago. So now we make 7 different varieties. We just started a gluten-free pizza. It's a nice environment. It's a little bit calmer. It's a little cooler in the area. It's not a hot 100 degree, 200 degree kitchen that we're cooking in. So now we're in 140 stores. We have frozen pizzas in 140 stores. Carmine's Frozen. They're going very well. It's the life of pizza. You just have to pivot every once in a while. We make some changes in the kitchen to make it ours, try to figure out different things, take ideas from other people. Like Arsenio was saying, people come in, they want to try this. They're like, try this. And, you know, we give it a shot. It's fantastic, the pizza business. I don't know what it is. I don't think that I could really do anything else. I think that we talk about it and we say, when we get out of this business, I'd probably be fine for a couple of months, go home, get a lot of projects done around the house, right? Retire. But I think I might, like, if he's still in business or if Joe is still in business, I might say, listen, I need 2 days to make pizza. I'm jonesing over here. You know, you just love it. And I was talking to these guys before, and even if we have a day off or we come in, I'll run the ovens tonight or I'll make pizzas tonight, and we just have to be in there and we just have to do it. Even after so many years, it's crazy. I think it's such a great business to be into because, you're really not working a day in your life if you're loving what you're doing. And being in the kitchen with the mumbo jumbo and all the craziness is going on, you sort of love it. At the end of the night, you really feel like something good is going on. So I think that's why we put our heart and soul into everything we make, and that's why our products are all fantastic, because we love making it. We love eating pizza. And growing up in this state, we have the best pizza around. So we grew up eating pizza in New Haven and West Haven. So that's basically why I'm in the business and still in the business. So, yeah.
So thank you, Heath. One. One comment, one question. So the two things with both of these guys that for me personally makes kind of the hair on the back of my neck stand up or goosebumps is that they're super passionate. Both have an incredible amount of passion. And if anyone's ever made pizza, it's not easy. But what I wanted to ask Heath quickly, because I want to keep going. Heath told us a quick story about him when he was in his younger days, when he would skip school and he couldn't go to his relative's pizzeria.
That's what he remembers.
Tell us quickly with that story, because it's funny.
That was it. So we went to New Haven and we ate at Sally's and Pepe's. We would leave high school and just cut class. You know, it was a study hall or something, or a gym class. Yeah. And we were able to
academics,
just,
right?
Yeah, we were, it wasn't math or history or social studies. And we would go to Sally's or go to Pepe's and eat down there and just sit outside of New Haven and eat the best pizza in the world. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was the best.
So next we have Joe from Tipsy Tomato, the world famous stuffed shrimp pie. I'm telling you, if you haven't tried it, you got to give it a shot. But Joe, tell us your story, please.
All right. So my story, I'm a first generation Italian American. My grandparents and parents were born in Italy. And growing up, my grandparents owned the house and we lived upstairs. So I was always downstairs with my grandmother or my mother cooking. So the first thing I noticed I loved, my grandmother would make dough, but there was something tweaked for pizza dough. We used to make frizzelles, tarals. Everything was a little different. And it just mesmerized me how you could throw a different ingredient and the dough would become harder, crispier. So I just loved that. And then, so in East Haven, there was a place called Andy's Food Market. I don't know if you remember. So me and my uncles used to go down there all the time. And then there was a place called Rascati's. They made their own bread. And I was mesmerized by it. It was, from you buy a sub somewhere else, they use Apicella's, Loopy's. But when someone makes their own bread, it just changes everything. So again, I loved it. So then around 10 years old, we moved to North Brantford. And one of my neighbors was Neil from John and Maria's Pizza. So his parents opened up a pizza restaurant. And we were 10 years old, so we were downstairs making pizza boxes, sausage. And, you know, when the place wasn't open, we make our own pizza. So that's where I really got the love of pizza. So fast forward a few, my parents get divorced and, you know, I was on my own for a little bit. So me thinking about a restaurant wasn't in my brain then. But then my cousin, when I was about 21, my cousin opened up a pizza restaurant and my father and I worked there, and it was with the, if it goes good, he was going to sell it to me and my father. So everything was going good. And then my uncle, my father's brother, lost his job. And he, you know, all Italians, you're, you know, thick-headed. So my uncle came in and wanted to change everything. You know, everything's going good, but he wanted to change the dough. If you put 10 shrimp in the dinner, he wanted 8. And my father, you know, he came back. He goes, what if you were buying this? Would you want the 10 or the 8? You can't just take it away from this customer. Don't change it. But my cousin saw it was really affecting the family. So my cousin sold it to another guy. So that devastated me. So now I don't even know what to do. I'm 21 years old. I wanted a restaurant. And so I went the other way. I opened up a landscaping business. So I did that for a long time. but I worked at other restaurants around the area. So about 10 years into that, I was thinking about opening a restaurant, and I think I was like 30. And I just thought you buy an oven, you know, a plate. It was the farthest thing I thought to open up a restaurant. It literally takes, if you get nothing, it literally takes hundreds of thousands before oven, chairs, walk-in, Ansel systems. It really is expensive if you don't find an existing place. So again, my dreams were shattered. So again, working, and then about 8 years ago, a friend of mine said, hey, there's a place in Derby and the guy wants to sell it. And I'm like, okay. So I really, you know, landscaping is good money, but I'm like, what does he want? He wants $399 for it. I'm like, okay, so let's just take a ride and go check it out. So I met the owner and we walked around for like an hour. He's telling me, so it was Marco's Pizza. I don't know if anybody's familiar with it. He opened the one in Brantford and then he had one in Derby. So he was like, yeah, I've been in the business 30 years. You know, I got a place in Marco Island, Florida. I just want to get out. I had a partner and, you know, he left. So now I'm thinking, you know, $399 is not going to happen. So I just threw out a number. I said, I'll give you $50,000. Because I felt like he wanted out. Mm. And he goes, oh, let me think about it. So again, I never thought I'd get a call the next day. And he said, I'll take it. And I said, great. There's only one problem. He's like, what? I said, I don't have $50,000.
That's awesome.
So now he's like, well, what do you got? I said, I have 25. He goes, give me the 25 and pay me $2,000 a month for a year. And 30 days later, I was the owner of Tipsy Tomato. Well, it was called Marco's then. So now I'm scared because, you know, you have a certain job. Oh, it was also a manager at ShopRite. So, you know, I have my health insurance. You have security. So now I signed a 10-year lease. And the one thing I heard out of, you know, the lawyer and talking to the leasing guy was, if it doesn't do good, you owe us $5,000 a month for 10 years. So I almost like backed out because that's, I wouldn't know how I would do that. But I knew I could make, because I used to, you know, make pizzas with my grandmother. I know it's totally different, but I knew I'm anal about things, excuse my language. And I knew I could make great food and I had to take a chance because I forgot, it was no risk, no reward. I was always lived my life on that. But finally, I took a risk. So it was January, and I was in there for, I opened up March 10th, 2017, and I was like a mad scientist in that place. I must have made 30 different batches of dough. I went through 5 different tomatoes. I knew the moots I was going to use, but I was literally a mad scientist in there. And I opened up. It was a Friday night, and the rest is history. It blew away my expectations where it's at today. It really did. And I wouldn't even dream of, like, open up another one if it would go the same way. It literally, because then I find out there's another restaurant in Derby that's been there for like 100 years. I never even heard of them. Now I'm getting scared. I'm like, damn it. And they had their specialty seafood pie. So my mom, when I was younger, we used to make baked stuffed shrimp for Christmas Eve. So I opened up in 17 and she had cancer and she passed away in 2019. And I remember that year, my sister was like, oh, we're gonna miss mommy's baked stuffed shrimp. So I went to the restaurant and I made what I remembered how we did it. I made all the shrimp and then I had a mound of stuffing about this big. I'm like, what am I going to do with it now? So I threw out a pizza, and the rest is history. It was the best decision I made with that pie. It literally, when I made it that time, I ate 3 of them that day. That's how good it was. I'm not even joking. I literally ate 3 smalls. It's very heavy, but it's so buttery. If you like that buttery fatty, it's shrimpy, garlicky. It's so good. You have to try it.
Nice.
Literally, I can't say enough words on how good it is. It's that people have had it. So,
and your mom is smiling down on you.
Yeah, she finally saw me open and succeed.
That's awesome, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have a gentleman who's not short on words. I talk a lot, but I think he's got me beat. Attila the Hun. Tell him your story, buddy.
Okay, where to begin? So I'm originally from Montreal, moved to Bridgeport in 1972. Grew up in Bridgeport for a good part of my life. Then we moved to Trumbull. We started back in 1988, Marissa's Restaurant. Marissa was my mom. We did that for 9 years. We moved to Trumbull in 97. We did that for like 18 years. And then my passion has always been steaks. Pizza is really not my passion. But what came about from reinventing myself back in 2016 to become the cast iron chef is where the pizza comes in. But it didn't even start then. In 2016, I turned Marissa's into the Cast Iron Chop House. Eventually in 2017, Christmas Eve, I opened it in New Haven. And within a year, my mom used to make bread for me at the restaurant. And I always used to tell her to save me a couple dough balls. And I always was looking for a cast iron pizza pan. And the only thing we used to only have was a regular large skillet, which is, 3 inches high. And the pizzas come okay in there, but it's not really what I wanted. Most of the cast iron pizza out there, or actually 90% of it, if you Google it, cast iron pizza, or if you go on Pinterest, Instagram, or anything like that, all you'll find is a lot of homemakers like the Rachel Ray's out there and stuff who will just tell you, buy some pre-made dough, throw it in a skillet, and add your toppings and just let it bake for a half hour. So what started out as when I was able to finally find a 13-inch cast iron pizza pan, I started practicing with the pizza, basically more for my staff. It wasn't like pizza was really my thing. I was happy with the steakhouse. I love cooking steaks. My passion really is, like I said, is cast iron. So whatever I can make in cast iron is usually what the food of choice is. Right now at the Chop House, everything is, it's steaks all in cast iron. The whole menu is cast iron. If it can't be served in cast iron, it doesn't go on the menu. So I started practicing with this dough, and it worked okay. And I was just giving it to my staff, and my staff would be like, what are you going to do with this? Like, this is too good not to do something with. And I just, for a year or so, I really didn't pay much attention to it. It was just more of a hobby. Eventually, the Milford Mall, right before COVID, came to me and said, we have a place for you if you want to do it. And I said, all right, let me try it with the cast iron pizza. The mall really wasn't the best place to practice this. But, with every failure, you always learn something. And from there, I learned more about the efficiencies and all the nuances of cooking cast iron. The fact that there really wasn't any information out there for me to figure out how to make a thin crust cast iron pizza to be crispy, like they say, no flop, and still be a little airy, it took a lot of time. A lot of the pizzas out there, like tavern style in Chicago, it's a very, very thin, but it's dense dough. And my research really led me to nowhere. So it was really something that I had to learn on my own and just practice and try different flours, different water ratios, and even the layout of how we sauce and cheese the pizzas, I found with what I was doing, I had to put the cheese down first and then the sauce on top, which is kind of what they do down in Brooklyn, which is called the Brooklyn style. And for what I was doing, this worked the best. So now I'm in Seymour doing cast iron pizza. And it really is a labor of love. And when you're doing something that is against the norm, I mean, doing something in Connecticut that's not coal-fired, deck-fired, or wood-burning, or even Greek, you're looked at as a little bit weird, and you're not really taken seriously when you're doing something that's so far out of the box. But, you know, I love what I do. I love cast iron. I love the results I get out of it. And, you know, I tell people, I'm like, it's not there to be better than anybody else. It's just there to give you another pizza experience. And, you know, as many different pizzas are out there, we can appreciate all of them. And, you know, we all always don't want to eat a coal-fired or wood-fired or pan pizza. It's just nice to try something different. And I just love cast iron, and here I am today. I'm speaking here with all these pizza greats, and I'm a steak guy. So,
so thank you, Attilio.
Good job.
Great story. I want to add one thing that he didn't tell you about.
Popcorn.
He has what I call crack corn. It's popcorn with an incredible taste. What is the actual official name of the popcorn?
It's Cast Iron Chef Artisan Popcorn.
Cast Iron Chef Artisan Popcorn. Again, I call it crack corn.
We don't care about the name. We want the
ingredients. So does everybody else.
He's here. I cannot recommend enough. It's the best popcorn I've ever had in my life. And I'm not saying that for any other reason than it is. He's got it for sale. And I think you might even have some samples, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. Before you leave, check out the crack corn. All right. Last but not least, John from Frisco's on Forbes Ave in New Haven. The one thing I want to tell you about this gentleman outside of his great pizza is the fact that he is an incredible lover of dogs. He does a lot for dogs. Sometimes on a weekend, he'll give his whole proceeds for that day just to different local. I think Dan Cosgrove was one of the big ones.
Well, I do whoever needed. Like, I just do one for somebody that they threw a little dog out of the truck. They threw a dog out the truck. Somebody brought it to me. They think I'm a rescue. I don't rescue. I do fundraisers for rescues. Like, I've been open 13 years, and I think this is what keeps me going there. To this day, I raised $168,000. Wow. We did a fundraiser for a dog that was used for breeding, it was beaten, abused, blind. We raised enough money, it could see again.
Wow.
But I've been started off when I was 15, making pizzas, doing a dishwasher, and I learned I got good at it. But I, like these guys, you gotta love what you're doing. But in 2007, I hated it. I worked for a lot of idiots that took advantage of you. I went back to school for heating and cooling.
I hated it last week.
Had to get out of it. I just didn't want, just miserable going to work every day.
John, how do you really feel?
Listen,
saved them last.
But I mean, remember in the days, the customer is always right. No way. No way. They think you're buying a $10 pizza, they can abuse you. No, I tell them go to McDonald's. So in 13 years ago, somebody called me, told me there's a pizza place up for rent. I said, I don't think so. But I went, tried it out. I said, all right, we'll do it. If it don't work out, it don't work out. My first 3 years, I worked about 110 hours a week. And after 2 years, I did my first fundraiser. And in 5 hours, we ran out of dough. We made $3,000 for an animal rescue that needed it. They appreciate it. So I do one every 2 to 3 months. Sometimes there's an emergency one. But the pizza, I think I make one of the best pizzas around. I make it like I'm going to eat it. I don't freeze anything. Everything's fresh. Everything's always the same. And just all you can do, you can't please everybody, but you can make it, as long as you make it the best you think you're making it, you don't go cheap on anything. And so I'm currently 60 years old. I still work like 70, 80 hours a week because nobody wants to work. But now, like these guys, I love it. I don't mind. I appreciate it when somebody says, oh, that was good. That was good. Yeah, I know, but thank you. But the animals keep me in it. I like I said, I raised $168,000 for rescues. We do fundraisers for cats, anything. And the day of the fundraisers, it's not like working because you have a great time. Yeah. Nobody complains. They appreciate it. You help. Sometimes you help the humans. They don't appreciate it. Not a thank you. You know, it's like they expect it. I mean, you got somebody. Why do you help the animals? Why not? Like, I currently at home got four rescue dogs. They're the loves of my life. They're my kids. And they keep me going. But all I can say is just appreciate your customers. Make a great product, put it out there, and that's all you can do. So I figure another 5 years or so, but gotta love the animals. That keeps me going. Well, thank you.
Thank you, John. So we have a couple of minutes. Kevin, I don't know if you wanna, does anyone have any questions for anyone up here? Anyone at all? Questions? We're gonna give you a mic.
Just raise your hand and I'll come over with the mic.
There's got to be some questions. Come on now. Yes, ma'am. Ashbet.
I had a question about the frozen pizzas that you do for Carmine's. What makes them different than the other ones that are other competitors on the shelves?
The big difference is that they're frozen raw. You bake them 100% yourself. So it's not a pre-baked pizza. It's not like heating up a slice. You know, you preheat the oven nice and hot with the cookie sheet in it. And or on the gas grill, and you could cook it to your liking, well done or light baked. And and the gluten-free to cauliflower crust pizza is the same thing. That's that is a pure pre-baked crust, just so it holds it together a little bit better. It's cauliflower, but that too is the same way. You could, you know, toast it up as dark as you want or keep it as light as you want. Yeah.
That was a good question.
Is your frozen pizza called Carmine's also?
It is. There's a picture of me on the throwing the pizza in the air. You can't miss it. Without the beard, without the white beard. Yeah.
Actually, hold on. Hold that question, because I actually have a question for you, Heath. Heath has a signature pinky ring on. Show us the pinky ring and tell us a little bit about it, because it's just calling my attention.
Well, I only wear this. This is my father's ring. He died a few years back. It says Cotton on it. So I just wear this ring. It's sort of like a little support thing. I don't ever wear it. I always leave it home. But I wore it today because I was talking in front of you people, and I thought maybe he would help me out. So that's why I got the ring on. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, strange question. We're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We've done the pizza tours in New York City, and I keep hearing that there's something special in the water here that makes your pizza better. Is that true or just a rumor?
Bullshit! That was brought in the marketing department, but we just so happen to have someone here from the Regional Water Authority.
Nice.
The water.
I'm going to quickly answer the question, and then these guys can answer it better. But I've spoken to this gentleman, spoken to people at Regional Water Authority, and Connecticut is just blessed with, there's two kinds of water, hard water and soft water. Hard water has magnesium and calcium in it, which makes it taste bad, so on and so forth. These guys do an incredible job at the natural reservoirs that we have to keep this water really pure and soft. So the water is very important, but there's a lot of other things. I'm going to let these guys, if they want to kind of chime in, go ahead.
I think the water's fine. It tastes good. I'm in Durham, so you know we have all the houses have wells and water softeners, but Main Street has it has city water on Main Street, so we don't have to worry about that at the restaurant. But for the most part, it's it doesn't seem like anything different to me.
Okay. We use unfiltered New Haven water.
Unfiltered. I just think that when you're doing the pizza tour and you're coming to New Haven in the heart of the pizza capital of the world. There's so much history here, and there's so many people that we call them our ancestors from the back in the day when the Pepe's, Sally's, Modern, and all these people, the founders, who the talent has leaked out into the surrounding areas. So, you know, my pizza and all this, somewhere down the line, it started with those guys, and the history of it, it's perfected. It's like right now, and it's continuously being perfected. So right now, I think we're eons ahead of anybody else outside of Connecticut as far as top quality pizza goes, because we're so far ahead of everybody because we had that much of a head start. And anybody who's starting a pizza place, New Haven style pizza out in Missouri somewhere, you know what? Good luck to you, because unless you were here and from the beginning, or even growing up in it, raised in it, you have a fighting chance. We talk all the time about what works, what doesn't work, what quality products are out there, what was good, what was bad. You know, it's about prices and stuff like that. But I always ask someone I can come back to, if it's not Heath or Joe, but my brother, anybody. We're always communicating, always talking, always trying to perfect it. So I think that's where we have the upper hand.
So I just want to add to that, being an outsider who really didn't grow up in the pizza business. When you have New Haven that has set the standard for pizza, all these guys came from this area. They know what tastes good. They know what the standard is. So in order to crack into this field, you got to be good. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it. If you go to places where there's no competition, you're going to just play to the audience. If you could get away with making it cheaper, they will. We in this area cannot afford to do that because the bar is set so high that we have no choice but to be good. Unless you want to be a price-sensitive item and a commodity where you just want to sell it cheaper and know that you're going to make it on price, yes, there is a market for that. But when you're selling a premium product, they know what's good. They grew up with it. They're in New Haven, West Haven, East Haven. If you didn't grow up with good pizza in that neck of the woods, where else were you going to get it? Because as you go further around that 10-mile radius, things fall off real fast. You know? So, I mean, it's just there's not a lot of secrets out there. A lot of people buy the same flour, same water, same cheese, same sauce. The art of fermenting it longer, the right ratio of cheese to sauce, the baking. Not every, you know, if you have a wood-fired pizza, okay, and he gives me his recipe to use in a deck oven, it might not work. His oven's probably 700 degrees. A deck gets to 550, 600. All those little things make every one of their pizzas different. And that's the beauty of it, is that we all buy a lot of the same stuff, but it's knowing your environment and what you have and what you're trying to create that differentiates us. But they're all good. It's just that they're all going to have their own touch. And that's what this area, New Haven, brings out that nobody else does. You know, there are spots in Brooklyn, too. If you grew up in an area that had great pizza, you want to emulate great. Why would you want to emulate the ones that aren't good? So that's what we do around here. We look up and we see what's great and we try to copy it.
Absolutely. Well said.
Thank you for coming all this way as well. We appreciate that.
That was all for Oklahoma.
Oh, boy.
Take that back down south.
Attilio was on a roll. Any other questions before we wrap this up? Questions once, questions twice, treat that. Oh, here we go.
I was wondering if you guys hang out together, if you ever have time off and talk pizza.
We try to. Yeah. We try to
see pizza so much. The last thing they want to do is sit down over pizza.
Maybe have a couple of beers and eat a steak or something, you know? But, you know, we just talked.
You want to hate pizza? Own a restaurant where that serves pizza.
Before we walked in here, we were talking about it, me and Arsenio and his brother, and try to get together with Joe or something. And
We do want to hang out. It's tough because we all work every single day, so yeah, it's hard. But I think we're going to try to meet down in Milford and at Arsenio's bar and definitely eat some pizza and drink some beers because we have a good time and we like to talk about everything that happens in the restaurant because we all have the same story. Yeah. So it's nice. You know, you go home and you tell your family that lives the story with you. It's, you know, it's a lot for the family to deal with what we're doing, you know. So it's nice, and they'll listen to everything, but after 22 years of listening to it, it's, you know, you try not to talk about it as much, you know? So we could go to the bar at his place, and we could talk about it for hours and just laugh about it and compare notes and stuff like that. So we're gonna try to do that a little bit more often if we can, I think. Yeah, and go get some stuffed shrimp pizza.
Yeah.
Quesadilla. Yeah.
I'd like to know what's your favorite pizza always. When you want to have a pizza, what do you like on your pizza?
Oh, it's good.
Pepperoni. So
you know what? I personally like the New Haven plain with just pecorino romano, olive oil, a little garlic, salt and pepper, well done. Not facchimi char, but char. That is my absolute favorite pizza. And I once in a while, you know, my father used to make it with anchovies when I was a kid. And I said, oh my God, Dad, yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. That's I've taken a liking to it. I absolutely love it. So yeah, you know, New Haven plain with garlic, olive oil, bake it in the oven, well done with anchovies or some just onion or just a little bit of very, very little toppings, a little hot pepper or something. That was it. That's my absolute favorite.
That's also my favorite too, but with pepperoni on it. Completely well done, you know, with the good char.
Yeah.
Almost a facchimi char for me. almost a facchimi char. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the plain. I mean, I love a cheese pizza, but with no mozzarella on the pie, it's I love that.
There's nowhere to hide with no mozz.
Yeah, I love that.
It's just delicious.
You know what your favorite? Right.
Mine's a pepperoni or a Pepe's bacon and onion.
Yeah.
Love it.
Nice. Hun.
I'm really not a pizza guy, so. I just eat steak, so.
Yeah. I like pepperoni and bacon, a nice greasy one.
Yeah.
Nice greasy one, nice and well done, nice and crispy, where when you bite into it, it'll drool down your chin. Mm.
Save some for later with the beard you got. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up. We appreciate everyone being here. And a big round of applause for all these guys.
Yeah, let's give it up for them. Yeah. And the next panel we have coming up right after this, feel free to stay, is Frank's class, New Haven Pizza School. He's going to do a little demo action. And then at 3:30, we have the icons of New Haven Pizza coming up too. So you can, by all means, walk around more at the Pizza and Brew Fest or hang out. Thanks so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Ciao, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Remember, it's not burned.
It's charred, baby.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, it's time to go.